The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Want to welcome you, of course, to Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week. And wherever you get your favorite podcast, and now we're up to like 18 or 19 shows. So you can listen to shows from Leonard Skinner to Dark Side of the Pooch to the Feeding Frenzy show. It's called Heart of Alabama Food Bank, which is about food pantries and stuff. We also have a mortgage show. We have the great show called The Inferno we're doing with Trent Dilfer and Andy Kennedy from UAB. Just go and check out our wonderful store. A great podcast is fantastic. And of course, we always take your emails here. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can leave your email questions. We've been talking a lot about fleas. We've been talking about concussions. We have been talked about the Elizabethan collar thing. To shame. You've ever put one of those on, by the way? Have you ever just I got one downstairs.
Oh, sure.
And I put one on just
yeah.
I think I put mine on during COVID. I think I was trying to figure out a way so, you know, I didn't lick a toilet bowl or something. So I put that thing around my head and I said, dude, just wear this for a couple of weeks and we'll get through this COVID thing together. But Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by the fine folks at Ed's Pet World. 50 years of the business down there in Homewood. They redid the streets and stuff. It's beautiful down there. Exotic pets, all kinds of fish. They got birds. They've got mourning doves. They've got chinchillas. I got a chinchilla down there a couple of years ago. It's fantastic. Got all these wonderful exotic pets. Check out Seth, his entire crew, Angie, down there at Ed's Pet World, and also, of course, Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in Citation Lane for any of your comics, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. We talk about baseball cards and anything else in the show. Feel free to go and check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They do a wonderful work. More emails here, and I want to get into one, but there's one I wanted to get into that came from me. I'm walking my dog a lot more than since I lost my other dog. I'm now walking a Rainer dog at least 6 times a week. So, I mean, he knows every time during the day he gets up, he gets ready to go. I'm trying to deviate it a little bit so he doesn't get used to the same time every day because I don't want him to think he's going to get a walk every morning at 5 a.m. But he did something that he's never done before. And that is, I was walking him a couple days ago. There was dog poop on the side of the road. He sniffs it and just rolls in it. Just put his face down on it and just started rolling into the dog. And I'm going, dude. And it wasn't the white crusty dog poop, but it was pretty fresh. I'm like, what are you doing? And I mean, it ticked me off. And of course he had dog crap all over him. I've never seen him do that. I know dogs do that, but they usually don't do it right in front of us. They usually do it when they're in the backyard by themselves. They'll come walking in, they'll smell horrible. And you can tell they just rolled in something, but I've never seen him just consciously look at another dog's fecal matter and just take it in the face and roll in it. What is he doing?
You got a sick dog, man.
Dude, I mean, seriously.
I don't know what to tell you. He is this one sick puppy. What would be worse, if he rolled it in or ate it?
If he ate it, I wouldn't have to give him a bath. Seriously, what are they doing? They're not marking.
I don't know. I mean, they you hear people say they rolling in nasty stuff all the time. You know, a dead animal. They see a dead animal and they want to roll in it. It's got to be something with they want the scent on them. Which I don't really understand why they would want to do that.
It's not a marking thing because he's not leaving his scent. He's putting a scent on him, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe when he does that again, you need to put the cone on him to shame him for.
I couldn't believe it because he licks my son in the face. Okay. And it's his way of telling my son, get off of me. Xavier, because Xavier likes to, you know, he's into the cycling of compression and special needs, and so he'll hug, and I'm like, yeah, the dog will start growling at him. I'm like, give Rainer a break now, give Rainer a break, you know, and he gives him Zerberts, and of course dogs hate Zerberts, and whenever he gives a dog Zerbert, he'll reach back and he'll lick him in the face. So whenever he's sniffing another dog's poop or something on the side of the road or eating something he shouldn't be, I always think, great, he's going to be getting that in my son's face in the next half an hour. And so, you know, I'll let him sniff for just a second because he's a dog, and then I usually pull him in. But that time, whatever, I thought, well, I'd let him sniff it for a minute because it didn't look like it was wet, and he just went right into it. And I was like, dude, I mean, what's the deal? It was weird.
You got me on that one.
Yeah. Dr. Rab, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. We have not gotten a chance to ask you the last couple shows about what's going on at your store. Anything, any good stories, any good things happening around your place the last few days that have been amazing. You always have some good stories.
Yeah, we've, We've done some like some cool dentistry stuff recently. That kind of stuff comes to mind. The interesting thing about dog teeth is they have lots of different roots. So some teeth are single rooted teeth, meaning that, you know, they look like, you know, they look like this, you know, yeah. They have one root. They have some teeth that are multi-rooted.
So humans have two roots, right? We have the two roots.
Humans, I think sometimes they have kind of like four roots on the molars.
You're right. Yeah.
But the issue with the difference in like the main difference in dog teeth and human teeth, I don't know my human teeth near as well as my dog teeth, but the dog roots, are super long. So like for the canine tooth, what you see outside of the gum line, is probably less than, what is below the gum line.
It's like an iceberg.
So it's huge. So, yeah. You know, if you have a dog with an inch long canine, mm-hmm. you know, like a big, German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's got a canine, that's an inch long, mm-hmm. there's another inch below the gum line, maybe more. So when you have to extract these teeth, it's a huge ordeal and it's not easy to do, because you have to cut away the gums, and in the multi-rooted teeth, you have to cut those roots in half. So for example, they have, one of their upper fourth premolar has three roots and the tooth kind of sits in the mouth like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have,
now, is that standard for dogs? I mean, every dog, yeah. It's the same tooth, the same root system. It's not like they don't exactly. mix it up. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, you have these three roots and they have to be sectioned. Mm-hmm. So you have to create a gum flap and then you have to cut the tooth in, you know, three different ways. You have to cut it here.
Yeah.
And then you have to cut it here.
Wow.
And then you have to extract all those roots individually and then you have to close everything up. So, we've had a couple of those cases. The reason that you would have to do that in a dog is if they, fracture a tooth. And it opens up the pulp canal. It can get infected. So dogs that chew on hard things. So I would encourage everybody out there, if your dog chews on bones, if they chew on anything that's harder than, like if you can't put an indention in it by pressing firmly on it, then it's too hard.
Okay.
And they can fracture teeth, and then down the road they may have to be extracted. But also if you're not getting routine dental cleanings done, the dogs will get infections below the gum line or above the gum line, depending on what part of the mouth we're talking about. And so that'll create an infection and create bone loss. And that's when you have to go in there and section the tooth and extract it. And it just becomes a big deal. And it can be a very difficult procedure, a procedure that can have lots of complications and fail rates that are kind of high, because they're difficult procedures. So it makes way more sense just to kind of get the routine cleanings done, you know, rather than waiting until the teeth get really bad and then you might have to do extraction.
So I have to ask you this question, because I know there's a lot of people thinking the same thing right now. Well, I never had to brush my dog's teeth. We had a dog forever and we never even kept it on a chain. We just let it out when it wanted to go out, and it came in and scratched the door and it came in and never had fleas, never had problems. It got hit by cars, bit it through an electrical cord once and crapped all over the place behind my dad's chair, but it lived. And now all of a sudden you're telling me I have to brush my dog's teeth. Where is this new stuff coming? Is this some poppy gamey veterinarian bull crap trying to upsell me on something or not? And I'm like, and so I can hear those questions coming right now because they're people that are my age. So tell me what's going on and why all of a sudden, and I realize this as a human being, how important your teeth are now, because a lot of diseases can come in the humans can come from your gums. A lot of your health issues can come from the inside of your mouth. If you have bad teeth, you usually have bad health. Can you explain how important it is to animals and how often it should be done?
Yeah. So I'm one of those people that, you know, grew up where our dogs were outside dogs, mm-hmm. and I really don't remember them going to the vet that much. I don't remember them really having any problems. And we certainly did not brush my dog's teeth.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of used to those questions, because they are questions that I had about my own dogs when we were growing up. So the best way, there's a couple of different ways to answer your question on that. Most dogs are now indoor dogs. And so we see things that are wrong with them much more readily than when they just lived outside and we petted them for 10 minutes or we threw the tennis ball to them for 30 minutes or whatever. You know, now they're in our face while we're watching football and we smell their disgusting breath. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that makes us wonder why is your breath so bad? Oh, it's because you basically have infected calcium growing on your teeth.
Yeah.
And that's the bacteria that's in it is going to get up underneath the gum line and it's going to mess with the tooth roots. So, okay, let's fast forward to that. Now, there's a bunch of dogs that have horrible dental disease. And there's a bunch of dogs where those teeth would rot right out of their heads just fine. And they may never have a problem.
Yeah.
But you're going to get, you know, maybe 20% of the time, this little dog's going to come in and it's going to have a wound right here below its eye, a draining tract that it'll open up and it'll be there for a couple of weeks and then it'll close up. And then 2 months later comes right back. The reason it has that draining tract right there is because the tooth we were just talking about, that three rooted tooth, which sits right below that, has an infection at the tooth root.
Oh, wow.
So that infection has festered and created enough pressure where it pops out through the area of least resistance, dude, which is the skin below the eye.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. So we saw a dog at the end of last week where that exact same thing had happened. They had ignored, you know, the dog's horrible dental disease for years. And so now that's happened. Now, again, 80% of the dogs, the teeth will rot right out of their head and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you'll have, you know, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 where that happens. And instead of just having your dog's teeth cleaned once a year, or maybe once every other year, now you've got to do a surgical extraction of that tooth, which is expensive, mm-hmm. which is, let's be honest, dangerous. I mean, the dog's 13 years old.
Yeah.
It weighs 7 pounds, not exactly a great anesthetic candidate.
Yeah.
And now you've got to go in and remove apical bone. You've got to do, a flap of the gums, which, you know, sometimes doesn't heal well when you sew gums back together. So, you know, I think it's just, we're spending more time with our dogs. We're seeing these problems more than we would if they still lived outside.
And this is a good thing, folks. I mean, we brought all these pets in and certainly COVID changed our world. So we got a lot more pets and we want to take care of our little furry animals and take care of them. And we don't want to flap those gums. We don't want flapping gums, man. You know, it's funny because and some people would say, well, how do I know if my dog can't tell me when he's in pain? How can you tell? Because if you have one of these smaller animals that all he does is eat soft food, he's not going to have a problem. I do Purina. So I would think that maybe if my dog's not eating for a couple of days or something wrong, is that how you could tell if there's something wrong with their teeth?
Well, so sometimes they'll just continue to eat just fine.
Yeah.
So like this little dog that I was referring to, the appetite is fine in the dog. So, okay. But the issue is that it has an infection, you know, it has a bacterial infection in its head. But dogs are tough and they'll continue to eat. So the main, and this is not, you know, this is not a salesman's pitch,
yeah.
Because, you know, obviously we have tons of listeners all over the world really. But if you look at your dog or cat's mouth, if they'll let you, if you start at the gum line, if you start to see accumulation of calculus, which is brown, start at the gum line and then it'll work its way down the tooth. If you start to see any hint of that calculus forming in conjunction with a very thin reddened gum line, that's gingivitis. And it's just time to get them cleaned.
Yeah.
So that they won't get these infections that we're talking about.
All right, quickly, since we have more questions here, info@tonycurryradio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Rossbridge, Animal Hospital. Do fantastic work. 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet. How in the hell do you clean the teeth of a cat?
They have to be anesthetized, and so do dogs.
Yeah.
So our instruments are very similar. I mean, almost identical to human dentistry. I mean, it's basically.
Do you do your own kids' teeth?
No. No.
Could you? Could you do your kids' teeth if you had to? If the world would have ended and all dentists were gone, you could clean your kids' teeth if you did. Okay.
Absolutely, I could. but I would not want to use the same instruments that I've put in a dog's mouth, even though we sterilize them. I just don't know if I could bring myself to do it. But I did. I worked with someone one time who would use the dog instruments on their own teeth.
Nice. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got more email questions. Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every single week. I lost my dog, my Havanese. He was 8 or 9 years old. And obviously all my kids now are saying, you know, Christmas is coming up and man, we would love a new puppy for Christmas. My daughter has basically told me, she's 12. She said, if you get a new puppy, you don't have to give me anything else for Christmas. Santa Claus is good to go. And I'm like, I know how this works because obviously she's not going to be getting a puppy for Christmas and have nothing else to open. And dogs can be expensive. So they have gone to the expense, if you will, of time and effort to try to find my next dog. And of course, I'm thinking Wire Fox Terrier, which is a dog I've had in the past. It's a really funky looking dog. They want another Havanese. They're looking at Dachshunds. What's the best way to go shopping for a dog outside? Obviously going to a shelter, which I think everyone should do first. I think that's the best way to do because there's typically really good dogs. But if you have to have a purebred or have to have something that looks specific as you know, non-muttonary, if you will, what's the best way to go and how do you know if you got somebody that's not running a puppy mill?
Well, you can go visit them. Yeah, you know, it's the first thing to do, and you know, see if you can have a look around. And if they, you know, don't let you, that's probably a bad sign.
Okay,
might want to try to find somewhere else to get a dog or a cat.
Look at the neighborhood too. I mean, our Havanese, we got him at a mobile home park. We didn't know it was a mobile home park and we pulled in. I was like, are we seriously going to be, you know, and at that point that I felt like we were in a rescue mode, right? I was like, we need to take this animal and save this animal because there were 12 of them and they were just in cages stacked on top of each other. And it was incredibly skittish. Did not like a man's voice at all. It took almost a year to get used to my voice. So I felt the need to give this woman $500 for this dog, but, look at the neighborhood you're in, you know, see how they're taking care of their pets and, you know, that'll be a telltale sign as well. What about papers? Is it something do we need to ask for papers if it's a purebred and what typically, how many shots should have been given to this animal before I actually take it on?
I thought about the Big Lebowski when you asked about when he said papers. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, yeah. But Walter is, you can't board the dog. The dog has papers.
Yeah.
So it's when you like movie. Papers, I mean, you can find great dogs that, you know, are not like AKC registered and don't have a pedigree, and you can find great dogs that do. I think the most important thing you can do when you're trying to find a breeder is, you know, see if they will give you some references, call as many people as you can, ask them, how the dogs are doing. Ask them if they have any chronic issues. I mean, you know, you can get as detailed with them as you want. Most of the time it's good practice to have, at least one round of vaccines done.
Okay.
That would be the parvo, the dog, I guess. Yeah. Parvo. And then sometimes they'll also give them a lepto vaccine, sometimes Bordetella, but at least one round of vaccines. And sometimes we'll have dogs that have had multiple rounds of vaccines. And it's not always, I will say if you have a breeder and they just haven't done anything to it, they has never seen a veterinarian, they give the vaccines at home, quote unquote. You know, those are breeders that are trying to save as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's just not the best way to go about doing it. Yeah. You know, everybody wants a deal and everyone wants to, you know, get a bargain. But if you end up getting a pet that has not been well cared for or a pet that is maybe inbred, you know, you're setting yourself up for potentially, you know, years of problems.
Would you say that inbreds probably, and hear me out here, because I don't think people realize, you're like, hey, listen, I can do Australian Shepherd. I'm just using that as an example because that's what I have. And golly, I can get $600 per pup and I have four pups. Well, do the math. I mean, obviously if you can have a brother making it with a sister within 6 or 7 months and they're having multiple pups, you're doing the math in your head, you're selling all these pups. But when you have inbreding going on, it's just bad news. Well, obviously for humans, but also for animals as well. Correct?
Yeah. And, you know, that's just kind of where, I mean, you really can't talk to enough people. I mean, you can go back years with references, you know, and get as many as you can. And that way you'll know, hey, is the dog still around?
And I would say, you know, I would say too, and I've heard this happen. It's happened with one of my previous employees that you actually got to meet. My friend, who moved up to Wyoming or wherever the hell he went. He got an Australian Shepherd, and I think it was like $2,100 or something. I mean, I was like, I could not believe he spent that on his dog. And within 3 weeks, it drove him crazy, and he returned it and didn't get anything for it. And I was like, did you get your money back? He's like, no. And I said, why? And he's like, because I didn't want the dog. I said, no. I said, I foresee anybody that's doing real pedigreed, good animals, looking after them, that would not want to take that pet back and at least give you some of your money back. But I've seen so many people that get screwed at a $500, $600, $700. They either go back to the neighborhood and the person's gone, or they don't call them back. And I'm like, dude, do you want to buy a dog from someone who won't call you back? They'll call you back every 3 seconds when you're wanting to buy the animal. But then as soon as you buy the animal, they won't call you back to help. That's not a good sign. But, you know, for gosh sakes, I've seen so many people get screwed out of thousands of dollars because they either feel bad because, you know, they couldn't take care of it, or they just can't find the person. So that's not good.
Can you imagine buying a car, driving it off a lot, keeping it for 3 weeks?
It happens.
I know, but hold on. And saying, oh, I don't like it, take it back to the dealership and just give it back.
Well, there are some dealerships that do that now. I mean, you can go to a dealership now and buy a new car, and they give you 5 days, 5 to 7 days. Like driver's way, they give you 7 days. You can drive it around. I got a couple friends of mine that just use it like an Uber. They just drive it around for a few days, take it back, get their money back, and be on their way.
We got a beach trip going up. Let's go to driver's.
No doubt. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Molly in Homewood wants to know, ask Dr. Rab if there are any good Halloween dog costume contests in the Birmingham area. And typically, do dogs like to wear costumes? She said, my dog loves wearing a costume. I'm like, if you could just ask that dog what he thought, he'd probably hate you for putting these costumes on. I realize some dogs look really cute and they seem to tolerate having some garb on them or whatever. But first of all, do you know of any good dog costume contests around Halloween? I can't believe it's coming up here in 5 or 6 weeks. And typically, any problem with putting a costume on a dog or cat?
Man, we used to have one out here every year at Ross Brewery.
Really?
And then like so many things, you know, COVID just, you know, it went away and didn't come back. But they asked me to judge it. And it was fun. Yeah. It was really fun. And, you know, a lot of the pets would have just kind of store-bought costumes, but some people would go all out and do homemade stuff, and the dogs kept it on. I guess they were used to wearing the costumes. But I mean, I'm sure they still have them. They just, the one that I used to go to, they don't have it anymore.
Yeah. They have, those, Halloween, places. I was just at Lee Branch, I think it was yesterday,
Spirit, 2 days ago. Spirit Halloween stores,
and they're already open. I mean, they're already open for Halloween, and we're going to the pumpkin patch next week. It's hard to believe it's already been here, but, yeah, I mean, typically some dogs love wearing that stuff and some dogs absolutely hate it. It seems like the smaller dogs are more tolerant of that kind of crap than the bigger dogs. The bigger dogs don't want to deal with it.
I'll tell you, this time of year, we start to see a lot of jerseys.
Yeah.
A lot of jerseys, dogs coming in with their Bama jerseys or their Auburn jerseys. And
there you go. They're
coming in Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. And, you know,
you're going to see too many of those Auburn jerseys if they're losing to teams like California. I'm just saying,
man, I'm not sure what's worse, the offensive line or the quarterback play, but the Auburn's in for a rough year.
You could be a UAB Blazer fan like I am, and you could have bigger issues. I got news for you. One of my shows, I have to hope that team does well because it helps Tone the Bones podcast network, and it's not working out real good.
Hey, listen, it's way better for boarding business for football to be good in this state. Like Auburn, Alabama, it's way better for boarding business. People still go to the games.
I got you. Anything else going on in your world you want to share with us before we let you fly?
Oh man. I mean, everything's good here. Everything's great. We appreciate anyone that comes and sees us and trusts us with their pets. We love it. So, you know, just super thankful. We've been open for 7.5 years.
And wow, it's been 7.5 years. Sasquatch yeah. Toys and Comics down there on Citation Lane in Homewood. They do comics in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Toys unopened in boxes. You could buy, sell, trade. You find stuff in your grandma's attic, take it down there. And it's probably worth some big-time bucks. Everything from Legos to Star Wars stuff, you name it. They've got watches, jewelry, all kinds of really cool stuff. And, of course, Ed's Pet World has been in business now for 50 years in beautiful Homewood. Still the coolest pet store in the world. I go down there at least once a week, see Angie, the entire crew. They have all kinds of exotic pets, birds, chinchillas. They have mice and rats for your snakey, if you got a snake like I do. All kinds of cool stuff. Great fish as well, too. Check out Ed's Pet World. Tell people how they can find you, my friend.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on the Facebook.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.